the co-worker. We have to stop being what other people need us to be in those moments, because guess what, brethren? Even Jesus needed to take care of himself before he faced the most difficult trial of his life. And that's not being selfish or self-centered, because you have to take time to spend with your God in your moment to take care of your pain and your agony upon which you are about to face, to spend time in prayer about what you need to go about. And sometimes we have to go into our deep, darkest place sometimes as we dig down into our soul, as we pray to God, and we ask Him sometimes, even as we go to face Golgotha, Jesus said, God, if there's anything you can do, if you can take this away from me, I'm begging you to do so. But brethren, let me say this. Even in that moment of prayer by yourself, if God doesn't answer, I guarantee you He's listening. Because in that moment of your despair, as you pray to God, my Father who art in heaven, He turns towards you and He bends His ear to listen a little closer to what you have to say. Because in that moment, He knows what you're facing. And even though He might not answer in that moment, He's going to help you get through the fire. It might burn a little, and it might sting, and it might be the most painful thing that you've ever experienced in your life, but I guarantee you that as you walk through the fire, God is standing with you every single step of the way. The first thing when you think about that God told a depressed Elijah was to eat a good meal and to get some sleep. It's interesting, often things do not look as daunting after a good night's sleep after a long day of turmoil. But perhaps even you've experienced sometimes it seems like the darkest, most innermost thoughts of the difficult times come to us in the latest of evenings. Those things that keep us awake at night. Those things that shuffle our thoughts from one end to the other. But we have to find a place to sort out our own mind, to spend some time in separation, in meditation, and contemplation. Because sometimes in that moment, what you're about to face with your Golgotha might be something that God asks you to do that you're not ready to do. And sometimes it means facing your darkest fear. And that's not an easy thing to do sometimes. But Jesus emphasized rest, both spiritual and mental and physical. When He invited sinners to come eat in Matthew chapter 11, He said, come unto me and rest, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my soul upon you and learn from me. Jesus said, put it on me. But it's interesting, even in that moment in the garden, Jesus put it on God. He put everything else aside. He closed the office and He said, God, I need you right now. And even as He went back, as He was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane that evening, as He went back with His innermost three as they're sleeping, He woke them up. He said, look, you need to be praying with me so you too are not tempted. I need you to pray with me right now. I need you to stay awake and watch. And it's always interesting that I thought, what is He asking them to watch for? Look out for Him. Pay attention to me in this moment because I need you. And so when Jesus emphasized rest, in Hebrews 4 and verse 9, the Bible says there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. We know that rest, that burden is going to be lifted one day. And as we face that Golgotha in life, that difficulty that we have to go up against, as we're traversing up that hill carrying our own cross of sacrifice, the rest will come, even though in the weariest of moments, we don't think it's ever going to get there, right? When is this ever going to stop happening to me, we say. When am I ever going to have to quit dealing with these situations, we say. Why is all of these things happening to me, God? Why am I having to handle this? And God bends His ear a little closer and He listens a little more. Lesson number two. Don't try and climb Golgotha by yourself. Jesus sought the company of close friends, Peter, James, and John, as He pulled them into the innermost circle there. When you think about it, friends were important to Jesus, and it's interesting, again, that the 12 of the 16 times that the word friend is used in the New Testament, Jesus either said it or He used it in the presence of other people. And so when you think about the concept of what friend is, Greater love hath no man than this, than to lay down his life for a friend. John 15:13. Jesus said, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. God referred to Abraham in James 2 and verse 23 as his friend. So when we think about the concept of friend, we know how close that can be for all of us. And if I were to ask you this, for you to think of your closest friends, if I were to venture a guess, you could count them on one hand. Those that you would trust, those that you would tell anything, those that you would lean upon the most, and those that you know would be there for you with whatever befalls you. But he's the friend who sticks closer than the brother, Proverbs 18:24. He was a friend to the tax collectors and the sinners, Luke 7 and verse 34. Jesus is the friend we need, and we're not surprised to find that though Jesus sought solitude in this dark night, he didn't go very far from his friends because he needed them. Jesus prayed alone, but he alternated between the Father and his friends. I need God, but I also need my friends to be there for me. And he wanted Peter, James, and John to stay awake and pray for him so that they would not be tempted, it says in verse 41 of Matthew 26. No doubt, I think part of the reason was for their benefit, for their protection, for their training, to show them what they were about to be faced with. But it's safe to say that even the Son of God wanted friends to be around him when it got dark. Brethren, I can tell you this, God did not create us to be soloists. He created a fellowship of family. And though there are those moments where we have to go into our Gethsemane and we have to be alone, and we have to pray to God, the Bible tells us the importance of prayer. The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous avails much. The Bible tells us in 2 Thessalonians to pray without ceasing. That means in the Greek, when those moments arise, to pray continually in that difficult situation that you're facing, whoever you need to pray for in that situation. Jesus understood the concept of prayer, so much so was he grieved in his heart as he prayed to God, that I bet if you were to go back to that spot at that moment the next day in the Garden of Gethsemane, that you would find a damp spot on the ground where Jesus was praying so hard as he wept through the tears praying to his Father, and you would also find some tainted red dirt there as well too. Because in that moment, through Jesus' pain and tears and agony, as he talked to the Father, he knew his friends weren't far away. And sometimes we as friends, as we reach out for those to lean upon us, and people often ask me, what do I say in these difficult situations? My advice is, don't say anything. As hard as that is for us sometimes, because we want to say the right thing in the right moment. And sometimes we say the wrong thing with the goodest or the best of intentions. But in those moments, sometimes when we're hurting, we just want their presence. Jesus didn't need Peter, James, and John, nor the rest of his disciples to say anything. He just needed their presence. And so, when Jesus, brethren, calls us his friend, that's a big deal. Because he called his friends to be by his side in his moment of darkness, to be by his inner circle when he needed them. And then as he came back in that moment, as his friends were there, he said, it's time to go. Now I need to face my moment. And it's interesting, even when you think about it, as Jesus was about to go and face Golgotha, perhaps do you think in the back of his mind he was thinking about those friends that he called his closest would walk away and turn their back on him and act like they never knew him? Our friends may be unable to offer a perfect solution or even give a suitable word of comfort. And Jesus' friends even let him down that night when they fell asleep on watch. But speaking our mind is often a relief. A joy is shared is doubled. A burden shared is halved. It's okay to lean upon each other. It's okay to ask for help. Lesson number 3. Don't try and climb Golgotha on your feet. Use your knees. Jesus sought comfort from the Father through prayer. Gethsemane, Jesus prayed, I guarantee you, as no man has ever prayed before in his life, because he knew he was going to die. I think in that moment, as you read 37 and 38, he suffered with severe mental anguish. And he was wrestling with the concept of knowing of what was about to happen. Mark says in Mark 14 and verse 33 that he was troubled or that he was deeply distressed. The Greek gives this idea of distressed in the mind or distressed of the mind. And as we talked about towards the beginning of the sermon, as you lay awake at night contemplating the Golgotha that you have to face, it's something that you wrestle with in your mind that doesn't offer you any rest, right? It keeps you awake because you know you have to face it. And as you wake up the next day with just a few hours of sleep and the bags under your eyes and tired from all of the things that you've been running through your mind about what you now have to face, in that moment you're probably going to be weak, and in that moment you need to talk to the Father. Again, I think if you had visited that spot at daybreak, you would find the damp place where he was praying so difficult and hard. He prayed so hard until his capillaries burst in his face. That's some intense praying. If you think of the power of prayer, Jesus used it in knowing what he was going to have to do. He could have used his powers, the Son of God, the one who sat on the right of the God of Most High, the one who could have called 10,000 angels to be by his side, the one who looked the devil down in his face and avoided temptation so that we might have the example of what it means to face difficulties. Could have done all of these things to push all of this away, yet he faced Golgotha head on. And sometimes the most difficult things we face in life, brethren, we have to face head on. As much as you don't want to face it, as much as you don't want to be in front of it, God says you've got to tackle it head on. Imagine what a joy to know that God is our refuge, He's our strength in a very present time of trouble. Psalm 46 and verse 1. I think Jesus understood that fully. Matthew 6 and verse 8, Jesus told them in the Sermon on the Mount that God knew before He even asked Him. He knows what your trouble is. He just wants to know that you're asking Him and that you understand His presence. In 1 Peter 5 and verse 7, it says that we cast all our cares upon Him because He cares for us. And so whatever your Golgotha might be today, whatever it is that you're facing, in verse 46, Jesus said, "Rise, let us be going, because my betrayer is at hand." Jesus said, "Let's go. We've got things to do. We've got to face this head on. We've got to tackle this thing, because people are depending upon me. Our salvation was at stake." Jesus knew the great thing that was upon his shoulder was to die for mankind. And he was ready to tackle it. Now, you want to know why? I think because he had that moment of prayer with God. He knew his friends were there watching, even though they would betray him. And he understood how powerful that prayer was in that moment of difficulty. A preacher once said, "Never does a man stand so tall than when he kneels before God." Prayer is an extremely important thing for us as God's children, as we pray to Him for comfort, for concern, for care, for questions. In our Bible class this morning, we talked about the idea when we're facing difficulties, when we ask God the question why. Jesus did on the cross, did He not? My God, why have you forsaken me?" And we know the answer to that. It's because of us. We're the reason Jesus was forsaken at Calvary, because of our sins. But that didn't mean Jesus was going to stop facing Golgotha. So whatever it is that you're facing today, I encourage you to first find your place of prayer in Gethsemane. I encourage you, when you come out of your prayer, to find your friends and lean upon them. Ask them for help. And even if it's just to be in their presence, that's okay too. And finally, when you do have to climb, do it on your knees as you pray to God. Ask Him for strength. Ask Him for help. Ask Him for guidance. Tell Him you don't know what to do. But just talk to Him. He wants to hear from you. Cast all of your cares at His feet, it says, because He cares for us. I think sometimes we don't use prayer enough to our advantage as children, considering the blessings that come with it. But here's the other thing I want to throw at us today. We have a lot of people in this congregation who are facing Golgotha. And you know what? Not only are they facing it, but their families are facing it too. And you see, in those moments, we know what their Golgotha is. We know what they're facing. In those moments, they need us the most. Not to be asleep on our watch. Not to kindly cast a phrase and say, "Well, I'm praying for you," but to truly pray for them and be there for them every step of the way. Because sometimes when you face those difficulties, that Golgotha that is so daunting, it's nice to know your church family has your back. Whatever you're facing today, don't do it alone. God loves you. We love you. We want to help you through it. So today, if we can comfort you, if we can encourage you, if we can lift you up, certainly if we can pray for you, we want to do that today. If you've never experienced the love of what Christ did through Golgotha at the cross of Calvary, you have opportunity. And so if you're willing and ready to obey the gospel that Jesus Christ so greatly died for, that He put His life on the line for, that He went to Gethsemane for, today you have opportunity. If you're ready to repent of your past life, put your sins away, Jesus said to cast those cares upon Me, right? Rest. Let Me give you the rest that you need. If you're willing to confess Me, Jesus said before men, I will confess you before My Father that's in heaven, Matthew 10:32. And Jesus said, finally, come to Me that I might wash away those sins, that I might make you spotless, clean as a lamb, that you might understand what true forgiveness is, Acts 2:38. Whatever you're facing today, let it be known as together we stand and as we sing.